Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Courtney Morris. She's an assistant professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. Hi, Courtney. In yet another shocking indication of the dangers of gun proliferation in the U.S., a reporter and her cameraman were inexplicably gunned down on live television early this morning near Roanoke, Virginia. 24-year-old Allison Parker and 27-year-old Adam Ward were in the middle of an interview outdoors at a water park being broadcast live when shots were heard, followed by screams. There is currently a manhunt on for the killer. The motives are as yet unknown. WDBJ7, the local television station where the two victims worked, is mourning the loss of their staff. Police have just released blurry photographs of a possible suspect. Well, Courtney, it must be so hard for people in other countries to fathom that anyone can just buy a gun and carry it around in the U.S. Do you see the story as yet another reason why we need gun control so badly?
Absolutely. I mean, at this point, it's still too early to tell exactly who or what is behind this, although The Guardian is reporting that that local authorities suspect that it may be a former disgruntled employee from WDBJ7. And so, you know, the details really remain to be seen. But, you know, ultimately, I think this brings us back to why it's, you know, just how frustrating it is that it's so easy for anyone to buy firearms if they want to. I mean, in 2013, we had 11,000 shooting deaths in the United States alone. And I think that if those numbers aren't enough to make gun reform a national policy priority, I really don't know what will.
And Donald Trump is yet again in the news, and it is with great reluctance that we include this item in our news this morning. A clash with acclaimed Univision anchor Jorge Ramos led Trump to give Latinos and Spanish speakers in the U.S. yet another reason to hate him. The incident took place at a news conference yesterday in Dubuque, Iowa, when Ramos attempted to ask a question. He was escorted out of the conference by Trump's security guards as the blustering candidate yelled, "Sit down, you weren't called, and go back to Univision." Trump told USA Today this morning that he believed Ramos was, quote, totally, absolutely out of line. Jorge Ramos is arguably the most respected Spanish-language news anchor in the U.S. and has been referred to as the Walter Cronkite of Latino America. Earlier in the year, Univision had cut ties with the Miss Universe organization over its relationship with Trump. Courtney, could Trump be digging his own political grave every time he speaks, or is the U.S. really in trouble?
Well, you know, I mean, I've said it before, Sonali. You know, on the left, I think we tend to view Trump as, you know, the Trump campaign as a distraction or a publicity stunt, but I really think it would be a mistake to underestimate his political significance. In the long run, I mean, he's not going to get the GOP nomination. He's infuriated way too many people in the Republican Party, so he's not a threat in that sense. But I do think that his candidacy has the effect of really pushing the party further to the right, you know, because his message is resonating with the GOP's constituency, who really are responding to the kind of thinly veiled race baiting that he's engaging in, and they're perfectly fine blaming immigrants and poor black and brown people and crime as the source of what's destroying America, rather than bringing those critiques up to the top and attacking the 1% that Donald Trump belongs to. So, you know, in my mind, I think he presents a problem because he's indicative of a much deeper sentiment among conservatives that I think will eventually have the effect of pushing folks like Jeb Bush, the so-called moderates of the GOP, further to the right and emboldening people like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, who are already kind of hardliners, to take even more hardline stances in the upcoming race. So
right.
he's a clown, but you got to take him seriously.
Right. And finally, in international news, three people were killed in the Indian state of Gujarat over caste-related protests. Upper caste Gujaratis, known as the Patel community, have brought their state's main city, Ahmedabad, to a standstill over what they perceive as unfair treatment. India's affirmative action programs aimed at tribal and Dalit people are aimed at undermining casteism. But now Gujarat's Patels say they've had enough. According to the BBC, quote, internet services on mobile phones have been suspended, schools and businesses are closed, and public transport cancelled in Ahmedabad and other parts of the state. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, who hails from Gujarat, appealed for calm, saying violence had, quote, never done good for anyone. Ironically, it was under Mr. Modi's watch that Gujarat saw its worst violence more than a decade ago when he was chief minister of that state, and a pogrom by fundamentalist Hindus against the state's Muslim community left thousands dead. Courtney, do politicians like Modi bear responsibility in stoking the flames of this kind of caste-based protest?
It would seem so. I mean, Gujarat in particular seems to be coming back to haunt Mr. Modi, as he's in office right now. And it seems to me that, you know, really, in a way, what we're seeing play out here is that the Modi government, despite its rhetoric of supporting, you know, national unity and kind of multicultural harmony among the different caste groups, that what he really has been able to do is to allow different communities to fight over scraps in order to avoid highlighting the fact that his neoliberal development policies have not produced jobs or significant economic growth, and that is essentially what he rode into office on. And so these protests, I think, really strike me as a classic example, much like what we're seeing here in the U.S. with the GOP, of the well-to-do taking their frustration out on those on the bottom rather than pointing the critique upwards where the responsibility really lies.
Courtney, that's a great analogy. Thank you, as always, for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Hi, Sonali.
Courtney Morris is an assistant professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. We'll be right back.